Hi people, welcome back to Dr. Sam's Musings. I hope you're having an amazing week so far. I hope you benefited from last week's episode and that you've begun your journey of emotional mastery. Like I said, it's not a topic that can be covered in one podcast episode. It's such a diverse, very multi-pronged principle and something that requires constant practice, constant revision, and I dare say will be a lifelong journey. But if you start the process and you start, you know, the journey towards, you know, learning how to, I know I say, you know, a lot. I got it from my dad. Pardon me. And it's so funny because I used to laugh at him for saying, you know, so often, and I've gone and inherited it. Anyway, if you find that you start the journey towards trying to master your emotions early, it will inadvertently, honestly, trickle into every single part of your life and will make you someone that sees clearer, that makes better decisions, that doesn't get easily triggered by situations and things like that. So I really hope that the episode last week will help you on that journey. I think once in a while you can come back and re-listen to it and, you know, just use it to help you on your journey. So today I want to talk about something that I feel will help everyone, as I always try to do, but it's also a very important clarion call. And I remember listening to a podcast as well where the speaker had said, if you want to see your future, you don't have to go to a tarot reader. You don't have to go to a palm reader. You don't have to look into a crystal ball. Just look at what you're doing today. And, you know, the life that we're living today is based on the decisions that we made yesterday. So the schools that we attended, the courses that we took, the friends that we made, the people that we married, you know, what we did with our money, the knowledge that we gained, all of those things are the things that are influencing our lives today. And the things that we're doing today are the things that will influence our lives tomorrow. So that's why I've gone ahead and I've labeled this episode, I've given it a topic title, Choose Your Pain. There are really, really two types of pain for us in the life of this world, and there's no third option. It's either you choose the pain of sacrifice, of discomfort, of delayed gratification now, or you choose the pain of failure, pain, and just discontent later in life. If you're not putting in what you need now for the future that you desire, it's always going to be a future. It's never going to be a present. And I'm going to say that again. If in your current situation, if in your present, you're not putting in the things, you're not sowing the seeds, you're not planting the seeds that you need for the future that you desire, that future is always going to be a future. It's never going to be a present. You're never going to achieve it. I mean, as we know, we're not in full control of things. God has already designed and mapped out our lives, but he has also given us free will. And there's a certain element of the part that we play in the outcome of what our lives will be. Even though it won't be a just God. If we are just deemed it based on his whims and fancies, you go to hell, you go to heaven, you get good health, you don't, then what's the point? But we have free will. He knows the decisions we're ultimately going to make, but we have free will to an extent. We have the free will to make certain decisions. We have the free will to take certain steps. And if you are not stressing yourself now, if you're not taking on some level of discomfort now for comfort and ease later, then if you wake up in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, you have no right to complain about the life that you have. And it's in the little things, honestly, it's in the habits that we have now. It's in what you eat. It's in what you're doing to your body. It's in the knowledge. It's in what you're allowing into the portals of your eyes and your ears that are settling in your heart. It's in the friends that you keep. It's in the knowledge that you're gaining. It's in, you know, what you're doing with your money, what you're doing with your time. It's the habits that we form with these things. It's how you're raising your children. It's the relationship that you're building with your spouse, the efforts that you're putting in now that might be uncomfortable, that might be alien to who you are, that will determine the pleasure of your life tomorrow. And that's just the frank truth. I was telling someone the other day, I'm like, look, you're in your 40s now. You cannot be acting like a 20-something-year-old. You cannot be acting like a 15-year-old, especially as regards nutrition and keeping your body moving. And I always say a lot of us have had parents that have suffered consequences of bad decisions as regards their health. I say, you know, in our moms, especially generation, there was a lot of Madame syndrome. You go from your car to your office, you sit down at your office chair, which might or might not have been an ergonomic chair, so it was doing nothing for your back. You go home from your cushy car, you go straight to your sofa, you lay down or you sit down, they bring your food to you, then they clear your food. The only times you get up are to use the bathroom and to dress up. You're constantly sitting and you're wreaking havoc on your back. And how many of us have mothers or even fathers that have had to undergo back surgery or knee surgery? I have. And I think it was my mom's back surgery that made me really, really start taking my health seriously, because I'm like, this is like looking into my future. If I do the same things, then I'm going to end up the same way. You know, the debilitation, the pain that, you know, you have to go through by not using your body the way you ought to have used it when you were younger is not one that we want to walk right into the same, you know, position or same place as our parents. You know, when my mom had back surgery, you know, we had to take care of her. I had to clean her up. I had to do certain things. And as much as close as my mom and I are, I know how, you know, undignifying she felt that to be. And when her back healed, alhamdulillah, then came knee problems, you know, and things like that. And you're just looking at you're like, it's not something that is unavoidable. It's bad habits that lead to those things. My dad was a very fit person, you know, for as long as I knew my dad, from as young as I remember to when he passed. He always used to exercise, you know, he wasn't a careless eater. But looking at my dad's nutritional habits, it's not surprising at all that he had certain diseases. Like, my dad used to eat fried plantains every single night of his life. And I kid you not, the only times that he didn't eat fried plantains as a meal was when he ate rice, and he ate rice with fried plantains. My dad, on an average, ate about eight pieces of, you know, meat in a day, sometimes up to 10 across his three meals. And, you know, six pieces of those were red beef. So you understand? So there were certain habits that he had that, looking back now, you're like, yeah, I mean, come on. These are now known carcinogens. These are things that definitely will cause high blood pressure. These are things that will, you know, things like that. So I feel like God gives us knowledge about certain things that our parents have been through or have done to help us prevent those things repeating themselves in our lives. But if we're just walking into the same situation, then what's the point? So the habits that you imbibe today are what will be the determining factor of the future that you want, that you will have. So if you're looking towards a future that is healthy, that is as disease-free as possible, that is filled with beautiful relationships, that, you know, you don't have to worry about money and things like that, what are you doing today to ensure that you have that future? Obviously, bi-ithnillah, by the will of God. But what are you doing? What part are you playing to tie that camel that you're hoping that God will now put his baraka on and make it truly into the life that you desire? If you talk about money as well, you know, money habits, what are you doing with your money? Like, I had a huge wake-up call last year where, I mean, alhamdulillah, I've been blessed to a very reasonable amount with the avenues that Allah has given me to earn my wealth. And I think more beautifully for me, apart from the quantity of the money that has passed through my life, is what I've been able to do with my money. I've lived, you know, I've enjoyed my money. I've enjoyed my life. I've done things that when I look back, I have the most beautiful memories. I have, you know, a smile on my face when I think about certain things. I have things in my life that bring me ease. I have things in my life that bring me pure pleasure. I have an arsenal, like a huge chunk of memory. So I'm very thankful for that. But I had to, you know, pick through and be like, okay, yeah, you've enjoyed for the present, you've enjoyed in the past. Are you going to enjoy in the future? So whilst I have certain savings and certain investments, I'm like, look, your productive years are, you know, they're running out. Even I can feel myself running out of steam. So I had to really look at my money and, okay, what are you doing with your money to ensure that the quality of life that you have now can be maintained till you leave this earth, or, you know, things like that, because I won't always be at this level of health or vitality to be able to do the things that I do. And who knows what trends will be like, who knows how the things that I do now will be received later, you know, things like that. So what am I doing with my wealth now to ensure that these things that I enjoy I can continue to enjoy them until I leave this earth. So I had to take certain decisions. I had to make certain moves to ensure that, okay, well, this is me tying my camel. This is me playing my part. And then I can only leave it in Allah's hands and hopes that and hope that he puts his barakah on whatever it is that I do so that it becomes multiplied and I continue to do these things. Relationships. What am I doing with my spouse now? What am I doing with my children now? How am I, you know, what relationship am I building with my friends now that will ensure that, you know, we have beautiful relationships going forward? And I'm at the phase in my life where I'm raising teenagers. My son is 14. My daughter is going to be 13 in a few days as at the time of recording this podcast. And they're a very difficult group of people to raise. It's easier, honestly, as you're with teenagers, to just let them be. It's actually a lot easier to just be like, look, do what you want to do. Just stay out of my hair. They're argumentative. And some of you might have a different, you know, experience, because some kids are just generally, you know, sweet and kind. But my kids are like me. They're very outspoken. They know what they want. You know, they're great kids. They're good kids. But attitudinal, they're very assertive. They know what they want. So they're not the kind of kids that you say, sit down here, and they'll sit down there. They're going to ask you, okay, I'll sit down there, but why do I have to sit down there? How long do I have to sit down there for? Is it fair that I have to sit down there? So even those conversations and those back and forth, is sometimes it's just easier to just be like, you don't want to sit down there. Okay, go and sit down where you want to sit. And because of that, I sat down one day and I'm like, no, I'm going to keep fighting for a relationship with these kids, no matter how much they drive me mad, no matter how much every time we're sat together, there's an argument or whatever, I'm going to keep doing it and keep doing it. Because when I'm old and gray, inshallah, or when I'm just older, I want children that will come to me because they love me, because they enjoy my company, and not out of necessity, not out of obligation. And I know, you know, the seeds that I planted when my kids were so much younger, the seeds of just doing things together as a family, that I'm like, no, it's not now that we're going to destroy those things. So I'm actually pushing for, we're doing a lot more stuff with the kids now. We're spending a lot more time with them and making sure that we're doing things that we all enjoy. So, I mean, there's certain things that I do that I know that my kids definitely don't enjoy. Like, we have like a family halakha where we sit down, we talk about Islam and things like that. They don't particularly enjoy it, but they don't have a choice in the matter. So I like to buttress that so that all their memories of the time that they spent with their mom and their dad will not be, oh, they forced us to do this or they forced us to do that. We do a lot of things that they enjoy as well. There's movie nights, there's games nights, there's, oh, let's go to the movies, or let's go out for a meal. You know, we do all those things as well, just so they have such pleasant memories. And one of the best days of my life was when my daughter very randomly came to me and said, Kai, but we've had a beautiful life, alhamdulillah. Those are the things that matter to me, and I want them to still be the case in 10, 20, 30 years, inshallah. So we're sowing the seeds now. For every time my daughter and I are having a back and forth, I just think about, you know, inshallah, when we become even better besties in the future, when we've passed, you know, this argumentative phase. And the same thing with my spouse. This is the age where a lot of couples go into cruise control, where they just leave things and they win things. But I'm constantly fighting for active bond building. I'm constantly fighting for, you know, conscious effort, for consistency. Because again, when we grow older and the kids have flown the nest and it's just both of us, what is the quality of our relationship going to be? From what we've done today, is it going to suddenly be awkward to spend time together? Are we going to have to start from scratch again? And is anybody even going to be willing to put in that effort? Or is it just going to be something where we're reaping the fruits of the seeds that we've sown today? So for me, I'm just very pro. If I want to, if I get to a future, because again, we don't even know if we're going to get to a future. But if I do get to a future, what is the quality of that future as I desire it? And what am I doing in my present to ensure that I have that future? There's a prayer that I make to Allah very frequently, and it's that I want to be able to pray, you know, the physical part of prayer for Muslims. I want to be able to pray the proper way until I take my last breath. When I see my parents, my mom sitting on a chair to pray, or my mother-in-law, or, you know, people sitting on chairs to pray or things like that, I'm like, I don't want this to be me. I don't want this to be me. I want to do everything possible now to be able to pray the proper way. So the days that I'm lazy and I don't want to get up and I don't want to do a workout, I'm like, no, Sam, you want to be able to do sujood until your last day. You need to move your joints. You need to stretch. You need to have mobility. You need to do your strength training. So I jump out of bed. It's the same thing with waking up in the middle of the night to pray. I'm like, you know what you want out of this life. You know what you want out of the next life. This is the time. These are the times that people that really, really want those things are getting up and they're calling upon Allah. So I jump out of bed. You know, so the discomfort that you put in now are the things that you're going to reap later. And if we're going to talk about discomfort, you know, the early hours of the day, the very early morning hours are the most blessed hours. Even across board, let's not even talk about it from a religious perspective, even though in Islam, you know, the night prayer is superbly and continuously, you know, encouraged. And then the early morning prayer, and then reading your Quran during the early hours and doing your adhkar or glorifications in the morning hours. The morning hours are truly, truly blessed. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because that's when your mind is freshest. That's when your body is freshest and is able to perform optimally. So it makes sense that that's when you get up to do your workout. It makes sense that that's when you try and do your goal setting and your strategy planning and all those things, because your mind has just come from a place of rest. It's freshest, is calmest, is, you know, at its peak. So it makes sense, you know, to do those things. And even, you know, in the secular world, there's a lot of research about, you know, the early morning hours. You read books like the 5 a.m. What's that book called? Anyway, The Breakfast Club, the 5 a.m. this, the There are all those books and all those researches now that show how productive the early morning hours are. So if you cannot sacrifice a few hours of sleep now to be able to enjoy later, then don't complain if you don't get what you want later. You know, if you cannot sacrifice those few hours of sleep now. And the thing about life is that there's checks and balances. If you don't sacrifice that sleep now, willingly, you will give it up unwillingly. Because when stress and worry are not, and certain things come into your life, you will not be able to sleep. If you don't sacrifice the discomfort of moving your body to exercise now, when illness and pain come, you will sacrifice, it will come. If you cannot sacrifice your money now to, or enjoyment now to grow your money, to invest, to make the right decisions, when lack comes, you would, you know, feel the regret of it. So there are checks and balances. If you don't do the right things now, you will suffer it later. So my talk today is, again, there are two types of pain. The pain of sacrifice, the pain of delayed gratification, the pain of, or delayed pleasure, the pain of discomfort, or the pain of regret, the pain of failure, the pain of lack. Which one will you choose? Which one will you choose? And I always say to people, I always kind of count my years by the age that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his last breath, and it was 63. I'm 42 years old. I'm like, okay, even if Allah blesses me, because a lot of people die way before 63 and a lot of people die way after 63, even if Allah blesses me and gives me those 21 more years to live, the quality of those years cannot be the same as the quality of my years when I'm at my peak. And I know that even in Islam, it tells us 40 is like your peak. After 40 is a steady, you begin to decline. However, you know, steadily, you begin to decline at whatever pace. And it picks up pace when you hit about the 50, 60 mark. You know, your body, your mind, everything begins to decline. So it's not just about the quantity of the years that you have left. It's also the quality. And, you know, when you look at businesses, for example, I was saying the other day at a talk that I gave that it makes sense now as a business owner why a lot of businesses just fizzle out. You just don't have the same energy anymore. You don't have it. And then certain things come, your knowledge becomes obsolete. No matter how much you feel like, oh, I'm in the know, my finger is on the pulse, the ability for you to grasp new concepts greatly deteriorates. Like, it's just like when people say, oh, do you have a TikTok? I'm like, I beg the name of God. Even Instagram, I've not finished, you know, using well. I'm not going to add TikTok and Snapchat to my stress. And this is how things will keep coming. We'll fall out of being in the know, and then slowly but surely your relevance and your presence begins to dwindle, and you don't have the energy to just fight it. That's honestly why a lot of businesses just fizzle out. So if you're not at this stage thinking about longevity and continuity, and you're not thinking, okay, let me start bringing in some younger people with more energy to run these ideas, to hear their ideas, you're going to wake up in 5-10 years and realize, I'm no more significant. I'm no more relevant in the space of things. So what you do today for yourself, what you do today for your business, what you do today for your health, what you do today for your money, what you do today for your relationships, what you do today for your relationship, the ogakpa takpata of them, for your life after death, will all be determined by, will all determine what will happen to you later. So life after death is, we all know, is 100% determined by life whilst living, right? So what are you doing? You want, if you ask 100 women, what are your goals? What do you want to be? You say, well, I want to be in Jannah. I want to be in Jannah. I want to be in Jannah. And then some people say Jannah to Firdaus. And some people say Jannah to Firdaus ala Allah. And to my non-Muslim listeners, those are the grades of paradise in the Islamic, you know, teachings. And Jannah to Firdaus ala Allah is like the top of the top of the top. And that's where everybody wants to get to. But what are you doing today to make you worthy of Jannah to Firdaus ala Allah? What are you doing? What is your Jannah project? How are you praying to Allah? What is your charity profile like? I always say, draw your Jannah CV and you know, judge yourself. I always say to people as well, if you went on the Day of Judgment and Allah gave you a rare privilege and said, you know what, you judge yourself. Do you think that you deserve Jannah? Even if you don't, you know, judge yourself and say, oh, I deserve Jahannam. But do you honestly think that you deserve Jannah? So what are you doing to ensure that you have a blissful afterlife? What are you doing to ensure that, you know, that dream of Jannah to Firdaus ala Allah, which we would never, ever achieve by what we do alone. But what are you doing to ensure that you're earning the pleasure of God for him to say, you know what, my mercy and my pleasure are yours. Oh yeah, take the Jannah to Firdaus ala Allah that you've cried to me so fervently for. What are you doing? What pain are you taking on today that would prevent you from having the pain of regret tomorrow? So I urge everyone, like, poke through your life, look at the things that matter to you, and honestly, start drawing up ways of making right decisions for yourself. Start drawing up ways of doing things in your present that will make your future, you know, one that to a large extent is what you dream of, is what you hope for. We know that there'll be incidentals. We know that, you know, things will not always go as we plan. But do the one that you can do. God is not an unjust God. Do what you can do. Gain as much knowledge as you can. Implement it as much as you can. And leave the rest in the hands of God. When you've done that, even if things go all right, even if things don't go as you've planned, you know that it's not from any lack of effort from you. So you don't have the pain of regret. You know that this is just Qadar Allah. This is just some, as Allah or as God has willed it. So you don't have the pain of regret. It's just a case of, I tried my best. But when you haven't even put in any effort, or even you, where you know that your effort is wishy-washy, you're today, 2024, new year, new me, go to the gym for the first week, then for the remaining 51 weeks, nothing. And then you go and do your annual checkup. If you do your annual checkup and they tell you, auntie, your cholesterol is rising, but still you are eating fried egg, fried chicken, fried meat, fried plantain every single day. You're eating butter. You're taking all those things. And then the next year you go and they tell you, your blood pressure is honestly going up. It's dangerously high. You need to start watching it. Still, you're eating all these things. You're doing all these things. You're not exercising. You cannot complain when certain things happen, because you had all the precursors, you had all the warning signs there. The same thing with money, the same thing with, you know, relationships. If you're not feeding your relationships, if you're not consistent in your effort, you cannot wake up later and say, I don't even know what has happened to my marriage. My children don't want to be around me, this and that. It's what you're doing today that is going to determine, you know, that tomorrow. So I hope that this makes sense. And again, I hope that it really acts like a clarion call to all of us, myself included. You know, there are many things that I'm still learning and tweaking and trying. But honestly, I feel like sacrifice, honestly, is something that all of us have to make. Sacrifice is something that we don't have a choice unless we want to leave our lives to chance, unless we want to leave our lives to whatever comes my way, whether cancer, whether hypertension, whether early death, whether unhappiness because I don't have children around me that want to be around me, whether my marriage falls apart. If you don't care about those things, then fine, wing it. You might be lucky and end up being the healthiest, happiest, most content person, but the odds are not really in your favor. Effort is needed. You know, seeds need to be sown for plants to be harvested. If you're not sowing any seeds, don't go on the day that other people are going to harvest their crops and carry basket and go and be looking for things to harvest. There'll be nothing for you because you didn't plant anything. I hope this really helps somebody. I hope this pushes you to start, you know, putting pen to paper and making the right decisions for yourself, for your life, for your family. Have a great week, guys, and I'll be here again next week. Bye.